This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
And you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming on the web at www.wbai.org. The time right now is the witching hour, midnight. Up next here on listener-sponsored commercial-free radio, Mike Sargent, Joe Massiri, and assorted cast of characters on The Night Shift.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio. WBAI 99.5 FM. This is Night Shift, and the music you're listening to right now is a song called San Briefet, and it's by Evan Adamofio. You can get the song at cdbaby.com. It's on iTunes. It's at Disc Station. And we'll probably be talking more about Evan and playing some of his music later on in the year. But today, the question is, do you believe in ghosts? Has anything supernatural ever happened to you? Anything you couldn't explain? Do you believe in ghosts? Is there something more than this? This morning, a special night shift. Personal paranormal stories. Thank you.
Yes, Mike.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience?
Yes, several.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Has it made you who you are today?
Part of the fabric of who I am. Not exclusively. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a special show, and this is really kind of a Joe Masuri-esque show, really, isn't it? Isn't this kind of a Joe Masuri?
No, this is Life is Like Science Fiction.
This is Life is Like Science Fiction. Definitely Life is Like Science Fiction. Well, here's the thing about Life is Like Science Fiction. Part of what we talk about are all the things that are happening in the news and how the world has changed and how technology and things that were once science fiction now are reality, and many just the way the world is something out of a science fiction novel. But at the same time, there are a lot of things about the world that are very old, that have been unexplained for a long time. And now, through technology, we're exploring the unexplained. Would you say that, Joe?
Yes, we are. We're trying to get a grasp on it.
We're trying to understand.
Through science.
What? How come Shatner never hosted a show like that?
Didn't he do something
like this? Out there. No, he did, I don't know, he did, you know, Find Me or something like that. I don't remember that show.
He'd done like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
No, he did not.
No, he didn't, but he should have.
He should have.
Believe it.
Believe it. Or not. Okay, well, we did an interview with, there's a show on Sci-Fi Channel called Ghost Hunters. And for those who have never seen Ghost Hunters, essentially Ghost Hunters is, you know, not unlike Ghostbusters. These are people who go into people's houses.
Well, they don't capture ghosts and store them in a facility. But
true, but similar. They are hunting ghosts. They're looking actually mostly to disprove.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of what people claim are ghosts. And as a result, the show also tells you a lot about phenomena that are unexplained. They explain the unexplained very often, but then every now and then, probably every episode, they hear or see or capture something that is unexplained.
And amazes them.
And amazes even them. And so, of course, now Ghost Hunters is not just in this country. It's international. So, what kind of people go hunting for ghosts?
Well, you know, the guys who created this series are Roto-Rooter men by day.
Well, they're Roto-Rooter men by day.
Yes.
Ghost hunters by night.
Night, yes.
Okay, now you got to wonder, what kind of people do this? What kind of people now are going to travel the world and be on TV and hunt ghosts? Well, of course, you know, Joe and I had to speak to them. And we did. And so we have an interview.
Yes, we do.
With the two lead investigators from Ghost Hunters International. And that will lead us into our show. The phone number here will be 212-209-2900. And hopefully, you'll tell us.
We'll reach out and speak to someone from...
Yes, we'll speak to the beyond. Right here, we will speak to the beyond. No, but what we do want to have is people call in and tell their personal ghost stories or things that happen to you that you just can't explain.
And if there are any spirits in the room,
oh,
there
yes,
are
please,
these,
have
we
the spirits
open up
call.
Some of these mics. No, we should do like they do. We should open up the
open
mic.
Open up mics and see what we hear? Okay.
See if we pick up spirits. Anything.
Okay, hold on. Let me just
you know, we're
open
here.
Up some mics. You know, is this something they do on the show?
Yes, and not Max.
No.
Although
he does haunt the place.
Exactly, but no, you know.
Let's see if we hear anything.
Are you there?
To the spirits.
Spirits, are you there?
Are you there? Is there somebody here who wants to talk to us?
Let's see if we hear anybody.
No.
Oh well,
you never know. Listen,
nothing
play
there.
Back. We have to isolate. We have
to isolate and play it back.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio WBAI, and I'm here with Rob Demarest and Donna LaCroix, who are the. What would you call yourself, Rob? Are you like the lead ghost hunter?
Lead investigator.
Lead investigator. And Donna, you're the lead researcher.
Yes,
I'm a researcher / investigator.
Okay, and I'm here with Joe Masseri. Joe?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi.
Good, Joe. How about yourself?
Not bad. Been a big fan of the show. Watch it religiously, especially when they do the marathons on the Sci-Fi Channel. I can catch up.
I want to ask a couple questions. I want to set you guys up. Now, first, Rob, I want you to know the show that we're airing this on is a show called Night Shift, and our mantra is that life is like science fiction. And I think that the show that you're doing and what you guys do in general and TAPS in general basically pretty much underscores what we're saying, that things that people think are fiction very often are not fiction. Tell me first, you, Rob, how did you get interested in the paranormal?
Well, I've been interested in the paranormal since I can remember, basically. You hear that quite a bit, but, you know, when I was growing up, when I was learning to read, you know, I was learning to read off books on the paranormal. So this isn't anything too new to me when, you know, my mom used to take me to supposedly haunted houses when I was, you know, just barely able to walk. So this is a field I've been into and interested in, you know, since I can remember. And I think what you said is absolutely correct. You know, since the beginning of science, you know, we've always kind of said, well, this is where science ends and everything past that is fiction. And then over time, we keep pushing that border further and further. You know, and I think that's what we're trying to do with this show, is say, look, there's still stuff out there that we're playing yet.
Well, I love the idea that the show is international because clearly, you know, it's not like there are only ghosts in America. There are ghosts all over the world. And I'm curious about whether these ghosts or spirits or any of these things will actually speak in different languages or long-dead languages, things like that. But first, let me just ask Donna, how did you get interested in this field?
I've been interested, like Rob says, I've been interested in the paranormal field for a very long time. It actually started before I even knew what was paranormal and what was normal. I had a series of experiences since I was a little girl into my teenage years. And as I got older and started to find people who, you know, I would share my experiences with to kind of validate that these things were real and these things were, like, in terms of really happening to us, I just became curious as to why. Why do certain things exist or we experience events to happen to us? So it's been a long life journey of mine, and will continue for a long time, I'm sure.
All right, Rob, I want to bounce back to you, and then, Joe, I'm going to let you, I'm sure you have a bunch of stuff you want to ask. Rob, let me just ask you now, so you said you were always interested in this, and are there any myths that you encounter in terms of what people's perception of either A, what the paranormal is, or B, what people who are into this are like, or that you're, it's all hucksters, or it's, you know...
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, you get a whole bunch of... The whole thing is a lot of people expect us to come in and break out the Ouija boards and start holding hands and start throwing a massive seance. You know, and that's one of the misconceptions. And some of the clients that we've had, when they're able to see that we're coming out, first of all, trying to disprove the events that they've, you know, kind of attributed to the paranormal. And, you know, that really gives them, you know, they don't mind that we... you know, have come and are now more welcoming to us because they see, okay, this isn't the kind of things that you mentioned. This isn't Ouija board readings. This isn't hucksters looking to throw sheets over their heads. These guys are really here to do something scientific.
Now, speaking about scientific there, and I'm just going to bounce part of what I'm asking over to you, Donna. I mean, there is an aspect of this, clearly, that I would think is essential, and that is someone who's a researcher or a case manager, because there have got to be a lot of details and a lot of aspects of this that allow you to maybe just sort of throw things out initially, like from whatever calls or references you get. What are some of the things that let you know right away that people are, you know, either not serious or that it's full of crap?
Well, some of the things are, I mean, you know, going through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails of case requests when I was in TAPS and on Ghost Hunters, which gave us so much exposure, you start to see patterns and you make correlations. Some things right off the bat, if people are writing in and saying, same time every day, the glasses on my, or figurines on my mantle start to shake. Well, you know, I say to them, is there a train nearby, or is there a factory nearby or something? You've got to look for environmental reasons. You've got to look for structural reasons. You've got to look, you know, just little things from, like, a draft near a window may shake the curtains and make something move off a desk and onto the floor. So, you know, when those kind of requests come in, I encourage people to really take down the details and look in the environment first before they start jumping to conclusions.
All right. Now, by the same token, the converse, like, what are certain clues that let you know that, this is worth investigating?
Usually it takes a few phone calls. If I get an email of somebody that I think is grounded and has kept a log of events that have gone on, because people that just want attention basically write you one email and say, oh, I have a demon that tears out of my chest every night. My house is haunted. You know, help me. Then I just tell them to go see their local psychiatrist, and it's all said and done. But no, seriously, when people keep detailed logs, and usually if it's somebody who you can tell is really grounded and serious and knows how to debunk themselves, who have said, you know, I thought it could be this, but it's definitely not that, or I checked out where all the drafts and the windows and the vents were in the house. It's not that. Those are the kind of clients you want to work with, because that's the mentality we come in with. So if they're already thinking along those terms, it makes our job a lot easier, which hence makes us want to participate with them and find out what's going on more. But, you know, you do get your crackpot. I hate to say it, but there are people out there who just, you know, they'll write you the silliest emails for attention.
You should try doing a late night radio show.
You know, I mean, there's so many variables in paranormal investigation. Because let's say, for example, somebody had contraindications with different types of medications. They really may feel like they're experiencing something paranormal. They may be hallucinating. That's what their reality is. But that doesn't make it paranormal. So oftentimes, if we get to the point where we go and investigate that house, you know, we sit down and we ask them honestly, you know, you have to tell us what medications you're taking, or let us try to help you understand this concept of mixing different medications together. And they'll be forthright and say, you know what, you know, my doctor did just put me on this and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we can get to the bottom of things right away.
Joe?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that's really interesting that I've seen in the series when the TAPS team first went to Europe was that there was a whole different approach to everything, and there's so much more history. So I guess first for Donna, I know that part of the team on the international series is Barry Fitzgerald. You know, given the history of places and you know, you're talking of places that have hundreds of years as opposed to America, which at most has like 200 years history, how important and how helpful is having somebody like Barry as part of the team, and especially in helping with you guys adapt to the European approach of ghost hunting?
Does that mean like you have wine before you go hunting?
The
European approach.
No, actually, Barry Fitzgerald is absolutely critical to our team. His skills and his direction, his guidance have been nothing but astonishing. I mean, he understands the culture over there better than us, because obviously he lives over in Europe. And he also understands their way of investigating and the history so much better than we do. I mean, we'll come across a location and I'll have done my initial research, but I'm very limited because I only get what comes off the internet or the bookstores or the library, whereas, you know, he gets to, while he's over there, go to the archives of, you know, a government building and look at the plans of a place and see what the rooms used to be like. And that's what we did while we were over there, and it was so much more exciting because he has access to all of that. So Barry is just, he is fundamental to the team, up and down, and also helping us interpret different cultures in their ways, the way they say things, the way they view life and death. So Barry, he's great. He's definitely a key member of the team.
Rob, I have a question. Oh, you wanted to say something, Rob?
Yeah. Well, no, I was there. I had a quick question for Rob. Rob, you know, one of the things that we've seen evolve over the course of the American Ghost Hunter series is the fact that the technology upgrades that have gone along the way. In starting out the International Ghostbusters, what were you looking at technology.
Ghost hunters. Ghost hunters, Joe.
Sorry, ghost hunters. Sorry. Starting out with the Ghost Hunters International series, what were you given technology-wise that maybe you guys were starting at a little bit above the curve of the original series?
I don't think that anything we were given initially, you know, set us off beyond the original series. I think that it's more that we kind of said, you know, as soon as we got together, we all sat down and said, okay, what do we need to expand on? What are we lacking? And, you know, can we kind of do it ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Barry Fitzgerald, once again, has been incredibly useful in that respect because he's got some incredible ideas as far as new technologies and how to use old technologies to accomplish some of these goals of getting some great evidence. And that's really worked out for us.
Well, I had a question for you, Rob. Looking at your background, you know, and touching upon something that Donna said, I assume there has to be a good mindset to really be able to approach these things. I mean, the phrase that stuck out to me was an open-minded skepticism. But you're a practicing martial artist and you've traveled. My two-part question here is, A, what is the best mindset maybe to approach these things or to look into these things from your perspective, what you do, and then even somebody who has something happening in their home or something? That's one. And then two, having traveled as you have with the original Ghostbusters, and this is probably for both of you. Ghost Hunters. and now going to European, do you see not so much cultural differences, but regional differences, or do you find the same type of things happening in different areas of the world?
Yeah. To answer the first part of the question, I don't think that there's a particular mindset that is applicable to everyone. I think that for me as an investigator, and it does to a certain extent call in a bit of martial arts training, is to just be able to empty your mind when you're in these locations. Like, yeah, you have to set up equipment. Yes, you have to, you know, think about where, you know, activity is taking place. But once you get into an actual position which you can sit back and just see what's going on, it's very useful for me at least to try and empty my mind of any thoughts so that I'm not going to miss a sound. I'm not going to miss something out of the corner of my eye. I'm not going to miss a shadow, you know, down the hallway. So that's, you know, that's something that's been useful for me. As far as other people, I don't know. They, you know, I think some investigators want to keep, you know, constantly thinking and, you know, rethinking where the best location could be and the best technique to use. But, you know, whatever works for them as well. And as far as traveling, you know, I've traveled fairly extensively. But I think that what I've found is that, you know, the attitudes may vary a little bit by region. When I was in the Middle East, they told me quickly that, you know, there are no such thing as ghosts, but we have jinn. You know, a lot of it comes down to jinn is pretty close to the idea of ghosts, except that they say that these jinn were never human beings. You know, so you get some, but at the same time, you know, they fully believe in the existence of you know, these jinn creatures out there.
Well, now, my other question, this is to both of you. Having kind of grown up, you know, absorbing and immersing yourself in this, how has that influenced you, your not only your worldview, but your spiritual view of what is possible and what is not possible into adulthood?
Wow, that's a five-part question.
Okay.
No, being in this field, first of all, is very, very intense, the work that we do. Rob can tell you, it's the number of hours that we spend on an investigation. You multiply that by 10 in intensity in terms of the mental stress, the spiritual and emotional, and the physical stress sometimes, too. Because it's almost like a meditative exercise. When you go and investigate, like Rob said, you have to empty your mind of everything. And what I do, too, along with Rob, is I set a baseline. I sit in a room. I record internally all the things that are going on in the room, what the room smells like, what it sounds like, where the windows are, where the light's coming from out the window, to try to get a baseline reading. So standing on that, it's been almost like a Zen exercise to me, and it flows into, it's part of my life, part of my reality. I've always been this way, and it helps in situations with going into rooms and observing people. I don't know how to explain or why it applies, but when you've honed the skill of really, really focusing in on the sights and sounds around you, you can read a lot about people. You can read a lot about their emotions, their senses, their energies. At least that's been my experience, and that consumes my whole life. That's just the lifestyle that happens upon me being in this.
And you, Rob?
Well, I mean, I think that definitely, you know, forces you to be a little more introspective about your own views on spirituality and life thereafter when you're, you know, constantly in a situation where you're chasing something that a lot of people don't even think exists. You know, so definitely for me, it's always given me time and looking back on some of these investigations, reinforce my own view that there is something after this. And that, you know, it's certainly something that we don't understand, but we should be pushing to understand.
Thank you.
is Robert Hawkins. Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. You found this. If you're watching this, then you know more about it than I do. Hello? Beth, where are you?
Okay, we cannot go into the middle of the city. We gotta get out of here.
There's nothing you can do for now.
Do you know what that thing is?
Whatever it is, it's winning.
Do you have any idea what's happening?
I don't care what's out there. Listen to me. She's dying.
Turn that camera.
People are gonna wanna know, you know, how it all went down.
And what you were listening to.
After the
musical interlude,
and after the Ghostbusters, the Ghost Hunters,
here it goes again.
Ghost Hunters interview, Ghostbusters International. That was part one. We're going to play part two because we want to take some calls for those who have personal ghost stories that they want to share with us. But what was the trailer we were listening
to? That was the trailer for the highly anticipated Paramount release of Cloverfield, which actually opens on January 18th nationwide. But thanks to yours truly, I have been speaking with the powers that be over at Paramount, and they believe that those who believe in life is like science fiction need to see this before other people.
Before all other humans.
All other humans. So we are going to have a screening next Monday night.
Free?
Free.
Wow.
January 14th.
The biggest film of the year, we've got a free screening.
Well, at the beginning of the year.
It's the biggest film.
Yeah, so far.
It's big.
Well, after that comes Indiana Jones, so. But
second biggest film.
So there you go. Well, the first big film of the year. Of 2008.
And we got it.
And we got
it's
it.
It's us.
It's us.
We pack it.
We pack it.
We mack it.
We pack it, stack it, and rack it.
We mack it. We pack it. It's
so,
us.
There you go.
All right. Not bad. All right. So what do people have to do?
Well, they can do one of two things. They can send an email to NITESHIFTZ at AOL. In the subject line, put in Cloverfield. And we will email you back this coming weekend with all the information.
Confirmation.
Confirmation and information.
List.
Yes.
Mm.
Or, and what we can do is take a, you know, because the mailbox fills up, we could have people call in.
212-209-2925.
Yes.
All right, but that's going to fill up too. So the email, but email probably not fill up as quickly as
exactly.
The but if it does, just keep trying because we'll let you know
right.
By
now,
Sunday night.
When
you'll
you
know by
call
Sunday night.
In, when you call in,
212-209-2925. Call now.
Please
call
make sure you leave.
Free.
Please
on
make
Monday.
Sure you leave
free.
Your first
on
name,
Monday.
Your last name, and a telephone number, as well as with your email. If you're sending an email, please let us know who you are
put
and how to get
your real name in there.
Yeah,
don't be
thank
like
you.
Piggyback at AOL.com. Like, I got to put piggyback back. On the list. You know
right, exactly. And right. Also your easiest mode of communication through the airwaves or hardwire.
Morse code.
So that we can call and confirm with you. So there you go.
So, Chris, have you ever had any supernatural experiences?
Oh, man, you know. All the time.
We're not talking about your girlfriends.
Yeah. Well, hi, Joe. How are you?
All right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Mike.
Happy New Year.
Your voice is starting to sound a lot more like you.
Is it really? I'm back to me now.
Becoming itself once again. Who's this here?
Scott Lipshine.
Scott Lipshine, you have a horror story? A personal paranormal experience?
Well, how about the...
This doesn't sound good.
The horror of the end of all horror.
The horror of the end of all horror. Does it mean they stopped making horror films for about 5 years?
About 5,000 years.
So you're not into horror films?
I don't mind them, but I think I have something better product.
Of course, but have you personally experienced anything paranormal or supernatural that you could not explain yourself?
Don't you know me?
I always know you. Hello, you're on the air.
He got you, Mike.
No, I know who it is. He's got the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you never know. Anybody?
Greatest movie ever made on the greatest site ever built. Hey. With the greatest graphics ever created. So, who else is here?
Sure.
Who is this?
This is...
How about call yourself Joe? What's your name?
Joe.
A Knigget?
No.
What'd you say?
No, it's just a Gid.
A Knigget.
Knigget?
Etigid.
Knigget. Oh, Etigid.
I think Knigget's much better.
No, Knigget. Knigget.
We'll go with Knigget.
Or my given name is Akhnat, okay?
Ahmad?
Akhnaten.
Akhnaten. Okay. Talk to me.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Am I calling in time? I have to talk.
Yeah, you
I'm
calling in time, but you don't call on the air to get on the list. You know what I'm saying?
You call
the 212-209-2925 to get on the list. But if you want to talk to
us, and they just land on.
Listen, if you want to talk to us, if you have a personal story
about
where you
your
yourself
with the paranormal.
Had some experience with the paranormal.
The paranormal.
You call 212-209-2900. You can call now. And if you've called, do you have a story?
Okay, I'll call 2925.
Thank you. He's like, I have seen
you
no ghost,
got no story.
But I want to see a free movie. Hello, you're in the air. Hello?
Yes, this is Mike.
It could be. Who is this?
Mike, yes. This is Bill from New Jersey.
Bill from New Jersey? How the hell are you, Bill?
Doing pretty good. Listen.
What part of New Jersey?
Well, listen, I'm not going to get into the total details exactly where I'm located.
Okay, I understand.
I'll tell
they
you.
They could be listening.
Because we could triangulate your position if you do that.
So talk to me.
Okay, Mike, listen, I have the most awesome story to tell you.
A paranormal story?
A paranormal story.
Talk to me. Talk to me, my brother.
Okay. I jog. Every now and then I go up and down the block here. Within two or three blocks from my house is a graveyard at a church. Next
church
to
graveyard.
Right. And it's very old. The tombstones in this graveyard have been there since the late 1700s. Ooh. Okay, let me go a little further. Okay, there's a very large pond right next to this church. Now, I'm not going to say where I'm located, but it's northern New Jersey.
Ooh.
Now, I jog every now and then, and once in a while I take a breath and I walk through the graveyard just to look at some of the tombstones. To see the years that the people died.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but granite is washed away by water in about 150 or 200 years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So some of these tombstones, you can't, it'll be like 17, is it 1783 or 53? You just can't tell. And I'm very fascinated by it because I'm not afraid of anything.
Oh, no?
I understand. His granite is not built to last.
Anyway,
he's not afraid.
Mike, this is absolutely the truth, okay?
I'm totally with you. I'm here.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking at one tombstone, and it wasn't one of these thin ones. It was kind of a heavy one. And I leaned against it. I couldn't read the date on it, and it went... and it cracked, but it didn't fall over.
Did you jog on out of there?
Well, I did, but I stood there for a minute, and I said to myself, oh, my God, I hope the spirit doesn't, you know, come after me, because I didn't mean any harm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you leaned on the man's grave.
Yeah.
I'd come snatch up and snatch you back down there with him.
Mike, listen to the rest of this. The Lord could strike me dead if I'm telling you anything that's not true. Okay?
Okay.
That's a different show.
I like the way you do that.
Okay. Mike.
I'm listening.
Mike,
I'm listening.
I drive a beautiful BMW.
Ooh.
Polished, waxed, mint condition 735i.
Somebody dropped a tombstone on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When this occurred, it was Sunday. Monday, the next day, I went to work in my beautiful BMW. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a pebble comes shooting up right towards my windshield and put a crack, a one-inch crack through the whole entire windshield, almost dead center, a little lower than dead center, over the steering wheel. Okay? It freaked me out, and then all of a sudden I was thinking, oh my God, I hope this doesn't have anything to do with me.
Leaning on that man's grave?
Exactly.
He knows him.
Mike, let me go one step further.
Go ahead, talk to
Mike,
me.
Listen, I've called before, but this is a God's honest true story. I had to call you when I heard what you were talking about.
I want
to
see the receipt from the glaze.
The windshield repair. Okay, Mike.
I'm listening. Ignore them. The next day,
Tuesday, when I was on my way to work, I said to myself, you know what? Instead of taking Route 80, I'm going to take 208 and 287 to get to work, which I did. Okay, no sooner did I get on Route 4, this is in the Teaneck, Bergenfield, Paramus area, when all of a sudden a dump truck at about 6:30 in the morning shot up a pebble and put another crack in my windshield 2 inches below that crack.
Wow.
Mike, I swear this is a God's honest truth.
Eventually they're going to spell out something. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's take it one step further.
Stop!
What happened Wednesday?
Okay, Wednesday.
A gravel truck.
Stop.
Stop.
A hailstorm. No, go ahead, I'm listening.
Wednesday, I was eating a ham sandwich and my front tooth cracked.
Stop!
And I'm talking with a lisp right now because I have to get a $2,000 dental implant.
Damn.
What?
I swear to God, Mike.
Don't mess with the spirits, son. You better stop walking through them graveyards like it was nothing. I hope you don't do that.
You better
anymore.
Get some sage and burn some sage, man. You got the bad juju on you. Got to get some
true what I told you, Mike.
Now, I believe you, son. And yeah. I'll tell you what. Here's what I think about those type of things, if nothing else.
Coincidence?
If somebody, quote-unquote, puts a spell on you.
Yes.
If someone puts a spell on you.
Right.
The only way the spell will work is if you believe it. Whatever you give power to becomes stronger. So, in order to break this, whether you need to go to church, whether you need to burn a candle, whether you need to do whatever you need to do, spiritual cleansing, apology to the greater beyond, do it. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Because, you know what? If you believe it can start, you can believe it can stop.
I hope you never cheat on your girlfriend, man.
I've done that many times.
Don't date any women into the Santeria, though.
There you go.
All right, you know what? Now, what's your name? This is Bill from New Jersey?
Yeah.
That's an interesting story, Bill.
Mike.
What? I'd be careful, Bill.
What I told
call in
you,
next week. Let us know.
What I told you is the God's honest truth.
You better
there's
call
no,
in next week.
There's no alterations to the norm. There's no...
Might not have any
gonna,
teeth come next week.
What?
You call it next week, Mike.
Well, how long
you're never going to
happen. How long ago did this happen?
A rain full of pebbles. I'm sorry. Hit him in the mouth.
How long ago did this happen?
A couple of weeks ago.
All right, so you're okay, man.
Yeah, I'm okay, but my daughter said to me, Daddy, you're cursed. I wonder what's going to happen next. She's 10 years old.
Child is smart.
That's always encouraging.
Well, she's very smart.
Beyond her years.
There's a $300 cell phone. She can dial in on the computer. She knows about everything you can't imagine at 10 years old.
Oh, well, yeah. I wish I had a $300.
At 10 years old, all we had was Barbie dolls and electric trains.
I didn't have any Barbie.
Well, we didn't have no Barbie dolls. We had G.I. Joe, sir.
Girls and boys, that's all they had.
We had James Bond action toy set.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I'm from the 50s.
Mm.
I'm almost 60 years old, believe it or not.
I thought you meant like you came from time. You traveled through time.
Oh, Mike, listen, I've had some experiences that you just wouldn't believe.
You want to give one more?
Do I want to give one more? Okay, well, I could.
It began.
I could.
Graves.
Years ago, I was moving into a house, and I was hanging up paintings on the wall. These paintings were from an artist down in Greenwich Village, an Italian artist. And I was hanging them up on the wall. We just painted the wall. And like an hour or two later, my mother called me. It was on a Saturday. We had just moved in. And she said, do you remember Drago? And I said, yeah. I said, I was just hanging up some of his paintings.
Drago?
Yeah, that was his name.
That's a little disturbing for me.
Yeah, he died long ago. And he's over at the Paramus Park Mall at an art show. What are you doing tonight for dinner? He said he would like to see you. I had just hung up paintings. So I didn't even know where this guy was. It was like years gone by. I was thinking of walking with my father through Greenwich Village, buying some oil paintings to hang up in the house. How do you like that? That's a true story also.
Okay.
That's disturbing. All right, Bill.
Yeah, I've had a lot of incidents that are supernatural.
Well, we're going to try and have a supernatural. We're going to see if we can call up Elena.
Yeah, you should talk to some other people.
See if
anybody else out there has any
right.
Anything as true blue as what I just put
all
on
right.
the radio.
Joe, do you think you want to try and do a seance and see if we can raise Elena, the spirit of Elena, here in the studio?
Well, we got to get some...
Why, Elena just showed up?
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up.
Exactly.
That unbelievable.
You know what the ironic thing is? Elena always calls. She's like, should I come? Yeah, sure, come, Elena. Okay, and then she shows up at like 1 o'clock.
I'm here.
What are you guys
Listen,
talking
I
about?
I gotta go.
All right. I'm haunting
Thank you, Bill.
You.
Bill, drive carefully, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I
Watch
don't,
out for those pebbles.
No DWI for me.
I understand.
Well, Elena is special.
Mm. I know.
Happy New Year, Elena.
Special. Happy New Year.
Hello,
I missed y'all.
Hello, you in the air?
Yeah, we had the New Year's show and the Christmas show.
Mm-hmm.
You were missed.
Hello.
Was I missed?
Hello. Are you here?
Spirit calling up.
Where were you, Joe, for the Christmas show and the New Year's show?
Joe was with family. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello.
I don't have a spooky story.
No spooky stories?
No.
No personal?
The mailbox is full and I wanted to get tickets.
All right, then email. Do you have an email?
Damn, we give out that bonus bill.
Yeah, you gave it so fast I couldn't catch it.
All right, here's the email. NITESHIF, as in Frank, TZ, as in zebra. That's nightshift with a Z at the end at AOL.com. Now, if you email us, give us your name, full name, not just the email, not piggyback or something like that. And you'll get on the list for a free screening of Cloverfield
on
Monday.
Put that in the subject.
You'll be the first humans to see it.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy
What's your name?
Year. Once again, this is Birdie.
Hey, Birdie.
I called in a long time ago. We were talking about unusual animal stories.
And you've never had anything supernatural happen to you?
I mean, I'm sure I have, but I'm...
But you blocked it
right
out.
Now.
I
yeah.
Understand.
Must
I understand.
Have. Yeah. Do you ever have really scary dreams and wake up and, like, try and scream and nothing comes out?
Mm.
Well, usually I'm still dreaming when that
You feel like you're someone is sitting on your chest.
Yeah, or like you're being, like the air is being sucked back out of your lungs or something.
Hmm. Joe?
Creepy.
That happens to you? People say
well, Elaine, it's good to hear your voice on the air again.
It's nice to hear you again.
Welcome back.
No, I'm happy to be back.
Well, Happy New Year to all of you. I hope it's a prosperous one.
Thank you.
Thanks again for the ticket, too. Take good care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Joe, how is Cloverfield, by the way?
Haven't seen it yet.
Oh! What's the good skitty on it?
It's a monster movie meets Blair Witch. That's what I'm getting. And actually, our screening will be the first because the critics, the old media screening isn't until that Wednesday, the 16th.
Wow.
So we got the advance word, brother.
The advancedness.
Yes.
Awesome.
Are you going to come down for that?
You going to come down? You need to fly in. Fly in for that.
So that's on Monday?
Then you can come on the show. That's Monday.
Yes.
Then you come on the show.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I should do that.
And you meet Elena.
Meet Elena.
Whatever.
Elena's not going to go.
You're not going to come to the movie with Elena?
You should come down because I've totally shaved. Part of my holiday ritual. It took forever.
I'm sure. Elena?
Like...
I haven't seen you since last year, Elena.
is that a buzzing sound?
Yeah.
It's Elena's buzzing sound.
What is that?
Hello, you're in the air.
That's only one leg.
Hello, you're in the air.
Yes, Joe.
Yes, George.
You are a bloviated octagon for having compared me to Monroe and Jeff several weeks ago. There is no comparison. Then later on in the show...
A bloviated octagon. That's a good
name.
Wow,
that is... You know, you can tell he's, like, on it, man.
And it took him several weeks to get that through the
thesaurus. He still feels it, too.
But, you know, when someone's able to use, like, you know, sophisticated words, it shows that they're...
That's right. Like,
I feel honored.
Like blurging. Hello, you're in the air.
Blurging.
Joe, you should feel honored.
Hello, you're in the air.
Hi. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hey, this is Keith.
Hey, Keith.
I haven't called you guys in ages. My God.
Oh, my God.
We missed you.
This is Keith. Yeah, right. I miss you all.
All right.
Finally
got
out of here. I have a good story
Talk to me.
You know, I was once sleeping, and you know how when you have a dream, sometimes you're like half awake, but you can't move? Like you have a dream like that when you're right in between sleeping and waking up, but yet again you feel as though you're awake, just can't move a muscle.
When I'm tied up, no, go ahead.
Like in your neck?
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened to any of you, but you know
that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, so one time when that happened to me, my nephew was in the room. So what I did was I left my body. And I know I left my body because I was facing one way while I was sleeping on the recliner, but yet I could see everyone. So I left my body, and I tapped my nephew on the shoulder, and I said,
"You
come here, wake me up." And he actually walked over and shook me, and I woke up.
Get out!
That's right. That's right. So now we know that there is really an actual plane. And you can really contact other people on that plane, and you...
What the hell do we need Sprint and Verizon for?
Well, you know what's interesting? What's interesting, I read recently that they stumbled upon... They stumbled upon this process by which they can stimulate out-of-body experiences. Did you read about this?
No.
It was a procedure they're doing for something else. And when they do it, people were experiencing it, and now they're using the same procedure to scientifically study
out-of-body experiences.
Right, yeah, but that stuff is real. That stuff is real. They always tell you that, like when you're on an operating table, and then next thing you know, you're looking down at your body, you know. If you happen to wake back up, then you go back in, but if you don't wake up, then that silver cord breaks and you're gone, you know?
The silver cord breaks and then you're gone.
Silver cord, that's what it is that holds you to life. Silver.
There it is.
I'm telling you, no, you see, I studied some theosophy.
Of course you did.
And I'm telling you, that's the real deal. That's the real deal. It advances your way of thinking, you know, so that... You know, you realize, oh, yeah, okay, I get it now, you know. That's the way I like to think. I like to believe. I like to, like, you know, say, yeah, oh, that makes sense. So how about you guys believe in reincarnation?
Joe does.
I believe in carnation, creamer, hazelnut.
Carnation.
French vanilla.
French vanilla, there you go.
Yeah, I like that too. Well, okay. All right, well, anyway.
Sounds like you've had a lot of creamer.
What's that?
Sounds like you've had a lot of creamer.
I've got all I need, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I can tell.
I got everything I need. Oh, it is, and it's wonderful. So, but you guys carry on. I'm going to call you again in another, like,
five or 6 years. Why don't you come down to the screening? Because I think Joe would like to just meet you.
I could come down where? To the screening?
Yeah, Monday.
Okay, where is it? I just turned it on the station. I haven't come back from dancing.
Oh, yeah, tell them how to. Screening on how Monday, Joe. Tell them all about it.
Chris, I'm all about it, Joe.
You got to send an email to nitesiftz@aol.com.
Got it.
Cloverfield in the headline and give us your name and your number to get in touch with you, and we'll hook you up with the screening.
Cool. And then ask for Joe. Say Joe sent me here, right?
Yeah, Joe will be there. You'll be able to tell Joe because he'll have a crowd around him.
All right.
Joe's the big guy with the cape.
Oh, the cape?
Mike's wearing
the
Star Trek shirt.
He wears a cape and all the things.
You wear a cape? Oh, yeah. My God.
He does.
He does.
Yeah, no,
oh, that is really cool.
It is. That's, it is. He likes it because he runs up and down the aisles.
<That's> really
with the cape flowing. Like, wait, don't start the movie.
There'll be at least 20 people around Joe when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long I used to talk to you when Chris Taylor was first born?
Oh, man, that's going back, son.
That's
back before. That's the late 20th century.
You've been listening for 20 years.
Yes, I sure have.
Oh, and man,
do you remember this guy, this racist named Doctor? I forget his name now.
Doctor Von Braun.
Yes, he used to go in as Doctor Von Braun. Yes.
Your experience right
here. This is like, oh, this is scary.
It's supernatural.
And who was the guy? Who was the guy with the gruff voice?
That was old Macy.
Oh my God! That's when I used to talk to you guys.
You've been listening a long time, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm glad to see that you're still on and existing, and
that's right.
Still doing your thing.
That's a good spin to put on it.
I might have to come down there because I've never even seen any of you guys.
Well, you want to come down? You want to ask for Elena?
You want to ask for me?
Mm. Nice to know you finally gotten out.
Mm. That sounds like something I would like to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you sound very sexy over
there. Oh, she's very sexy.
I'm very sexy.
Very sexy.
She's wearing a cape, too.
No, she's wearing the Curious George outfit.
Yeah, I'm wearing the Curious George.
Do you wear a cape, too?
No, she does not wear a cape. But believe me, she does not need one.
I'm capable. An underwearless.
She shows up
capeless. What are you wearing? Yeah. Hey, what color is it?
Stop now. Stop yourself, sir.
It's not
so you've been listening all these years. Well, I'm glad that you're still listening. And keep on listening.
I swear. I'm going to call you all again in another 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
And I'll come to the screening, too. But then, before that, so.
Okay.
We'll try to come on Monday.
Okay, cool.
All right, man.
Fuck y'all.
Sounds good.
Peace out.
That was deep.
Don't you hate when that stuff doesn't release?
Oh, there it is now. We lost Chris. What's the phone number here, Elena?
I hate when men don't release.
What's the phone number here?
212-209-2900.
Had another trailer up there.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Untraceable?
Yep.
Why, we have passes for that?
We're going to screen on the 29th.
Hey, Joe, 29th. Is that a new shirt?
Yep.
I love it.
But we should do this for next week, though.
All right.
Confuse people.
We don't want to confuse. Yeah, it was hard enough getting them to. Yeah, you're
to call.
Right. No.
She's like, hello. I wonder, can I get on the movie? It's like, no, sir.
You dialed the wrong number.
All right, and here's the thing: the phone number right now is full. I've been told it's a 212-209-2925. If you don't have a computer, but call back tomorrow. It'll be cleared out, by noon. Or you can email us at NITESHIFTZ. Cloverleaf is the new huge big budget. Is it the end of the world? What is it?
Anticipated.
Highly
J.
anticipated. J.J. Abrams, the creator of Alias and Mission Impossible 3, and who is producing and directing the new Star Trek movie. So
and
go see his
see who's directing that.
Isn't J.J. Abrams directing?
No.
Who?
You're sitting down?
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
Don't say Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, no. Tyler Perry.
Get the hell out of here.
Yep.
He's directing the new Star Trek.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Yep, was in Variety last week.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Get out of here.
No, just get out of here, Joe.
Okay, I'm leaving right now. Goodbye.
I don't buy it.
And nobody's getting any passes.
No!
Yep.
Then no rack for you, Joe.
Can you believe it?
No.
It was in Variety.
No, I refuse. It says J.J. Abrams to direct.
No.
January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Says here, Paramount officially announced the return of Star Trek Star Trek on Christmas Day 2008. There it is, J.J. Abrams. It is confirmed, Abrams will be directing the new Trek film. You freak, Joe's a stupid man. And don't forget that Jack Black is Karen Black and Jack Nicholson's son. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Nice to see
you. Nice. You dumped on everybody.
Hello?
You suck at this.
This is really not working there, Joe.
Are we potted up?
It is potted up. Yes, it is.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
Hello, you're on the air.
Still not working.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hello?
My name is Frank. Hello.
Frank, do you have a story for us, Frank?
Yes, I do.
Talk to me.
Be frank.
Actually, I have a story from the world of radio, sort of.
Now, is this a horror story? Personal,
yes, it is.
Paranormal? Okay, talk to me.
Real paranormal story.
I'm ready.
A few months ago, actually, we've had some friends of mine and I do a show. We had a show back in the day in college radio about 10 years ago called Nonproductive. And a few months ago, we got together again and did a very special episode, like on October 4th. And in the episode, we attempted to call down Bloody Mary.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And we went through the actual phrase. We told everyone listening to chant along with us, turn off their lights, and et cetera. And when we got to the 13th chant, and we all called out Bloody Mary, all the lights in the building that we were doing the show from went off at once.
Get out!
Yeah, seriously. It was amazing and quite frightening.
Did anybody, you know, like, suffer any, like, personal repercussions because of your careless foray into the supernatural?
You know, it's been a few months, and none of the people on the show ended up dead. But we told our fans to do it along with us.
Oh, stop!
Your fans are dead.
Yeah, so, I mean, our ratings are probably horrible now. Half the audience is probably dead.
That's why they're off the air.
You killed off your audience.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's a piece of advice. Don't try doing that.
Okay,
thank
we
you.
Will.
Mm-hmm.
Can I know?
And what's your name, sir?
Frank.
Frank. Have you ever heard the show before?
Yes, I have. I've only recently started listening to the station, but it's great.
Oh, you listen to the station, but you've never heard this show before?
No.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And you heard about the movie passage, yes, Frank?
Yes. I've heard about it.
Okay.
Yeah, are you coming?
I'm trying to avoid all the trailers for it, and I'm trying to have zero expectations. You know, a movie like this, it's all on the hype. You know, mm-hmm. You get in there, you anticipate too much, and they'll let you down if you're expecting too much. So I'm trying just to go in there, expect nothing more than just an okay movie, and hopefully I'll get blown away.
Well, you could get blown away on Monday night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're doing a screening.
Oh, great.
Free screening. Come on down. You
all
want right. to know? Right, here, we'll give you our
Are
email.
You coming?
Here's the email. NITESHIFTZ. It'll be screened here in Manhattan Monday night. Special screening for WBAI listeners, for Night Shift listeners specifically. Cloverfield, the new film by J.J. Abrams.
Just give us your name and
are you
your,
writing it
and
down?
Your contact information.
I'm writing it all down.
And we will get you in.
Because you sound cute, and we'd like you there.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, Elena finds you cute. Me and Mike, we've got...
You know. I'll turn you and Mike around. I'll do my best.
They're easily turned.
Oh, no, that's unfortunate. Well, you guys have a great show.
Thank
and
you,
And make
Frank.
Sure you yeah. don't... Make sure you don't summon Bloody Mary.
Let me ask you a quick question there. What's your name, sir?
Frank.
Frank, are you excited? What do you think of Gary Sinise as Dr. McCoy?
Actually, I think that might be very good.
Okay.
I'm kind of a closet Star Trek fan.
Okay.
You know, I was a fan back in the day. I think in the recent years, some of the movies have been less than great. So maybe if they start from the beginning, if it's a prequel, they'll do a good job.
They are
so
starting.
I'm giving them hope.
Okay. You win it. Joe?
Yes, Mike.
Man, at what point did you realize I was gone?
Pretty quickly.
Okay.
Before you were here.
There was no inane, witty banter flooding the airways in between Mike and I.
What'd you do? Go make some microwave?
No, Mike hung up on me when he you should remember where I am.
It was an accident.
It's all right. Click.
On purpose.
Click.
I'm sorry, your time is up.
I heard this piece of music and it reminded me of like.
Oh, you hung up on me?
No, he's about to. Though.
Yeah, I found out where you are. This is a piece of music. This is a new piece of music, but it reminded me of Night Shift from like the mid 90s. This is just the era just before you came, Joe. I used to play a lot of stuff like this. Probably played it when Chris was there too. Just take a listen. You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. It is now 1:10 in the morning. You're tuned to Night Shift, and the question is, do you believe in ghosts?
Dream problem, don't you?
How did you know?
We love you, but we don't think of you. You have a dream problem, don't you? There is a radio station broadcasting radio frequency. There are the voice is equally received by all of them. That is the way we are focused upon you. But we do not worry. We are not bound by thought. Because when we are not with you, we love you, but we don't think of you.
You have a dream problem, don't you?
Yeah, Art. I made a film where more than a quarter billion.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, I was calling about the screening.
Yeah, well, why are you calling this number about the screening? Okay, I'm going to give out the information again. You email us your name, and we will get back to you and tell you, put you on the list, tell you where the screening is and what time it's on Monday. You got a pen?
Yes, I got that right.
N-I-T-E. Night. S-H-I-F-T-Z at AOL.com. That's Night Shift with a Z at AOL.com. All one word, Night Shift Z at AOL.com. You got that?
Okay. Yeah.
Email us.
S-H-I-F-T-Z. Okay.
Okay.
I think you scared it.
Now, do you have any personal paranormal stories?
I don't know if I'm half asleep or awake. I don't know if you're interested in seeing it.
So it's like we're probably talking to
the
dead.
I was sleeping in bed one time.
You sleeping in bed. Talk to me.
Yeah, and the closet door was open. This was in Texas. I thought I saw like a spirit laughing.
A spirit laughing?
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't
you,
know. That's why I say I don't know if I was
were
dreaming
you naked
this
in the bed or?
No, I like I was a, it was so oh, small. I was.
You're
I had
so small?
On. Yeah, a little.
Shut up, you lady.
Yeah, that was about it.
All right, well, that you know, the spirit laughing when you're a child, that you never know.
Hey, I don't know. I think I might have been dreaming, so I'm just.
I understand.
Yeah.
And so,
you don't
right,
want
well, thank
it.
You, sir. Let's come down to screening.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
Hello, you're on the air. What's
call.
The phone number here, Elena?
212-209-2900.
What did he call? Monroe called. You're my phone number slave. What did he call it? Something?
Who?
That I turned these women into my phone number slaves. He said, give out the number, slave. Hello. Hello. It's like for Gladiator.
He is like.
Hello, you're on the air?
There is no such word as phenomena or underlook.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris, you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Do you have a scary story, sir?
I don't have a scary story, but I got to say, I got to thank you guys. I got a long drive home every Monday night, and I listen to you, and
we make the time pass.
Make the time pass, and some of your reviews on scary movies are exactly my opinion.
Mm.
You mentioned The Mist and how much you liked it, and I ran out and I got it. Got to tell you, it's the best.
Wasn't it fun?
Like
it was good.
In 2 years.
Yeah, it's good. It was good. It was fun. It went there. Like, it had a concept and it went there. Like the giant spider walking at the end. That was great. I was with it.
Well, you yeah, I thought the mist. I thought the mist was really, really
was
good. But you know, Frank Darabont just does a great job. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it too.
I liked it that it really showed the human side of what
the
people
world.
Do when they're put in a situation that you know there's really no accounting for.
Mm.
Right.
And it was
yes.
very good. You mentioned a while back that that you liked, I think, The Orphanage, but I didn't catch the whole conversation. Is
Joe was talking about The Orphanage. That was Joe yes. was talking about The Orphanage.
Liked it very much. It was very well done.
Joe liked it very much.
Good production.
Okay. I'll make sure to catch that.
And
anything else out there that you can suggest for
yes,
someone?
Yes. Well, I haven't seen Cloverfield yet, but there's another movie opening in New York on the 18th called Teeth, which I highly recommend.
Teeth.
Do we have passes for that?
No.
Why not?
Because it's a little...
You're slipping.
No, I'm not
slipping. You're
slipping,
Joe.
You know what?
You're slipping. It's 2008, you're already slipping.
Joe,
all I can
him.
Say is don't use your teeth for
just,
certain
just
things.
Just
tell
him, Joe.
I don't want to...
Straighten Mike out.
Embarrass him on air.
And Mike, Joe, what was the name of that other film that you were highly recommending that was on DVD that came out a couple of weeks ago? Was it Mind, or what was it? It was an independent film, and you put it on your top 10 list. You thought it was really excellent.
Right, I caught a lot of that top 10. I really enjoyed a lot of the movies there.
What was the name of that film, Joe? Do you remember?
Came out on DVD.
Came on DVD. It had just come out, like, 3 weeks ago. It had just been released, and you were, like, raving about it. You said it was an independent film. You put it on your top 10. I think it was, like,
Once?
Number, what?
Once?
Once.
Yeah.
Once was the one with the piano players?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Non-genre film.
Once. That's
very,
the film.
Very well done.
Okay.
I like Nine.
Yeah, all I can tell you is,
have you guys seen Audition? What did you think of that?
The Taki Miziki film? Miki Taki film?
Okay, I'm not really sure.
That's the one about that. Yeah, where the guy's like sets up the audition and he's looking
exactly,
for yeah.
He's looking for a wife.
If you think that's pretty intense, he did one of the episodes of Masters of Horror called Imprint. Really outdoes him. Yeah, really.
I saw a lot of those. I didn't see Imprint.
Oh, it was the only one that was banned from Showtime.
Well, that's probably why I didn't get to see it. I loved Cigarette Burns. I raved about that to a lot of my friends.
Poof. This one takes it to new heights.
And what was the name of that again?
It's called Imprint.
Imprint. I'll make sure to catch that. Well, guys, again, I really appreciate your show. It helps the ride home every Monday night. I only wish you were on more often.
Thank you.
So do we.
All right.
I wish Joe was on more often.
Yeah.
Have a good night, guys.
Shut up, Mike.
Hello,
you
and
me. You know, when Joe gives a review, though, Joe is right on, Mike. You got to give him some.
I give him nothing.
You got to give him some.
You know what?
I'm
bringing sound bites next week. I'm bringing sound bites next week.
You do that and you'll die. You do that, you die.
You better get here on time.
Hello, you're in the air.
This is the other Joe.
The other Joe. Do you have a scary story? Do you have a personal paranormal experience?
Well, I have a paranormal UFO experience.
Okay.
Does that count? But before I do that, I have to get one thing in. I think the worst movie that has ever been made, major budget film, directed, by the way, by a very fine director, Norman Jewison, the worst movie I've ever seen was Rollerball.
It was just on the other day.
The original you're talking about?
Yes. It's bad beyond belief.
No, the original is flawed. The new one is bad beyond belief.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't remake it. What, they reissued it or something?
No, they did remake
it.
They
remade it, babe.
They remade that piece of...
Yes, they remade it.
Yes, they did.
Oh, Lord.
Well, and it was a good idea to remake because, you know, you say, okay, because Rollerball was a flawed film. Interesting concept. It took some things.
But it did well.
It was the precursor to, you know, WWF and all that, you know, extreme sports stuff.
No, but at the time, you had roller derby and all that stuff, so it was...
Well, again, it was taken to that level.
But the screenplay was horrible. I mean, the dialogues were just like...
Great poster by Bob Peake, though.
True. Visually, yeah, arresting, that poster. But, you know, but there were so many other good films before and since then about and the genre is dystopias, right? You know, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so monolithically stupid in concept, you know, that it was unbelievable, you know, in a sense to me. But that's it. All right, so now my UFO experience?
Yes, we'd like to hear it.
Okay. Late 70s, and yes, and I'm driving up the West Side Highway with my wife-to-be, and I hear this strange noise above my old 67 Chevy, and I look up, and all I see is a large gray fuselage with giant rivets, and this low humming noise. This is on the West Side Highway going toward the GW. That's all I remember for a while. The next thing I know, I'm across the GW. In the next day's Times, New York Times, front page, and there's a picture of what they were calling strange lights over the GW bridge and people reporting strange craft. That story was quickly suppressed after it made the front cover of the New York Times in the late 70s.
Did you save that copy?
I did not, and I should have.
How can you see an alien ship and then not save the paper the next day? What the hell is that?
Maybe he did, and the alien stole it.
Explain that to me, Chris. And I was a stupid kid, so I didn't, you know. But I remembered reading it.
Joe, explain that to me.
It
boggles the mind.
Go to the microfiche. It's still in there. You know what
go
I mean?
Go to the microfiche.
You know what
like, I go to the New York Times and say, can I see the microfiche? They're like, what microfiche, sir? You know.
You know, it's still there in the records, you know,
you
in
think
any
so?
Library. But.
They don't let you see nothing anymore.
Yeah, I got to look through.
Got to sign to get in, sign to get out.
3,650 pages of New York Times to find it.
Probably. But anyway, it was true. It was true. I'm not making this up.
Okay. Well, I'll accept that, Joe.
Okay.
I understand.
Very quickly, another time I pulled over to the side of the road on Route 17 because I was seeing these formations of lights, like, taking up about a quarter of the quadrant of the sky. I thought I was nuts. And there were 20 cars pulled to the side of the road in front of the toll plaza around Ramapo on Route 17, observing these strange things happening. The Hudson Valley it can be an interesting place. Anyway.
Well, aliens were visiting a lot back in the 70s, you know.
They were.
They still are, actually.
No, they don't visit.
And they provided Mike with most of his weather.
Look, man, I had an alien implant removed from my head.
That's what I was going to ask you.
The aliens want just what everybody else wants.
What?
A job.
Stop.
Food, wine, and drink, and women.
And McDonald's.
They always come for our women, the aliens always.
They always come for our women.
Yes, they do.
They can take me.
What's the phone number, Elena?
At least they can take me.
She's take like, me on a date.
You don't have to probe me.
Okay.
212-209.
No, you can get those probes from your friendly urologist.
Thank you. Hello,
believe me.
Or a cousin.
Worse than anything you can imagine.
You sound like a man of experience. Hello, you're in the air.
I am.
Hi.
Mike. Yes.
Mike and crew. Hello there. Long time, long
time. How
are
you? Long time, long
time. How
are
you?
Listen, three things. A movie, the 90s, and also, yeah, I believe in ghosts.
Okay. You believe in ghosts? Talk
yes.
to me.
The ghost thing.
All right. So do you have personal experience with ghosts? Any personal experiences with ghosts or the supernatural or anything unexplained, like spaceships in front of you?
No,
GW?
No spaceship.
Right,
have you seen
about,
one naked?
What about, you know, demons laughing in the closet?
Nope. But as far as ghosts, right, that phenomena is frequent, and sometimes I may be in my apartment. I live in East Orange, New Jersey.
Yeah, my apartment's definitely haunted. Go ahead.
Yeah. And sometimes I don't feel like being bothered because I'm not spooky, all right? So it'll be like things moving, things turning off, turning on.
Wait. You just calmly, things turn off and on and home. So you're saying things turn off and on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Serious, I'm spooky because I've seen and heard all kinds of weird stuff in
so,
my life.
So things turn off and on at home and you don't have any real, you know, issue with that?
No, because it's not like all the time, just saying. I'd
okay.
be like,
okay.
If I don't really feel like being bothered and it might spook me just a little, I say I'm not spooky, but I'm saying if it just spooks me a little, I just kindly just say, you know what? Excuse me. I know you're there, okay? Just please. I don't feel like being bothered. I might turn on a light or my window. Seriously.
All right. So, you know,
a window.
You and the ghost have an understanding.
I guess.
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay. Now, a movie. I was looking for a movie, and I went to go see P.S. I Love You.
Okay.
And I happened to see your review.
Okay.
And just based on it, I didn't know what it was about or anything.
Okay.
And I went to go see it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And
okay.
It was like a certain order of things.
Yes, it was.
And I appreciate it. And, of course, I went to your screening of your own personal.
Oh, you saw Personals, too?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And I met you, and I gave you Astropop. Astropop.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, well, I think I did.
Okay, wax and all.
Well, you know, I need to wax now.
He totally needs to wax.
No, I hear you. But anyway, the music from the 90s, like, I used to listen to your show all the time, and it kind of, like, changed hours, and, like, just, you know, everybody goes to different cycles in life, so I missed the show, and it was nice hearing the music from the 90s, okay? And I miss Yoda.
Yoda, yes. Yoda used to call until he was with Padme, and then he didn't treat Padme right, and Padme left him and started dating the bodyguard. And she and the bodyguard are still together.
Okay.
It's part of the night shift lore, just so you know.
Okay.
And what's your name again?
This is Jan from Jersey. I have 8 of 8.
8 of 8. Is that like 6 of 9?
7 of 9.
Seven of nine.
What are you thinking about, Mike?
Glad that there is a new Star Trek of any sort.
Okay.
Good coming out.
All right. So I'm ready.
Yeah, and I appreciate the show, and you've been blessings, and don't be too scared of life and all of the unknown out there.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for
thank
calling.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Look at that. We're getting a lot of love this morning. Hello, you're on the air. What's the phone number here, Alina? Hello, you're on the air.
212-209.
Hello, you're on the air.
900.
Joe, why don't you tell us about supernatural experience that you had in your life?
I'm why? Right. Why are you singling me out? Why?
Because I know you've had some, because they, as you said, shaped you to be what you are.
Well, one of the stories growing up as a kid that there was a next-door neighbor had passed away, and my father had been, at times, my father was sensitive, shall we say. And
sensitive in that, like, he was...
Hey, you pick up on things.
You pick up on things, okay.
And we were in the kitchen. It was, you know, spring day. We had the window open. And we hear him, and he's talking outside. And look out the window, and there's nobody outside. And a couple of minutes later, he comes in. He's kind of like white kind of thing. And he's like, what's the matter? He's like, well, I was just out there talking to Bob, our next-door neighbor. And he's like, oh, but Dad, you know, Bob passed away several months ago. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Okay, but you didn't experience
it. No, but, you know, you felt something was up because he was out there talking, and it was like he was like, having a conversation, and it was like, well, what's
so your dad talked to dead people.
So, yeah, there you go.
Well, Joe, that explains a lot.
There you go.
That's interesting. All right, but you didn't hear the neighbor.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
All right, now what about personal? Sorry, now that's
I was in London,
floating around you.
I was in London, and there was a woman by the name of Margaret Manley who had a flat on Cromwell near Earl's Court, and I used to stay with her on occasion. And she used to talk about how there was a little girl ghost in like a party dress that was in the apartment. So it was like my fourth visit over there, and we had a little bit of soiree that night, some friends over, some food and stuff.
Soiree, like, is that like a French wine?
Yeah, exactly.
What'd y'all do?
And we were singing and eating and stuff and whatnot. She had a piano in the one room.
That's Joe's idea of a good time, a piano.
And anyway, so we were cleaning up. Her niece was there, who was up from South Africa. And her and I were cleaning up, and as we had some of the plates and stuff moved out for the room and the lights were off, the embers were glowing in the fireplace, and we were talking, and all of a sudden it got really cold. I mean, and you could feel like the hair starting to stand up on the back of your neck. And all of a sudden one of the embers in the fireplace looked like it was glowing and started twirling. And the next thing...
What do you mean twirling?
It was like moving, like in a circle.
You saw the ember...
We were talking
in
we
the
both,
fireplace.
We started looking at something in the fireplace looked like it was moving. The fire was dying down. And it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, it took shape into this little girl who basically came in this party
It
dress.
Took shape into the little girl. You saw this with your
yes,
own eyes.
Both of us experienced it.
You and where is this person today?
So, still probably in South Africa. So... And it came out, and it was this little girl, and she came out of the room, and all of a sudden she just stopped, and she looked at both of us, and she, like, giggled at us, and she went down the hallway and just disappeared.
And you weren't screaming your head off or anything?
No. Well, I mean, it was a little girl. It wasn't,
okay, it's
a girl
ghost, yeah. Yeah, little girl's cute.
But it was like, I mean, and you could
just... Did she have, like, no head or something?
No. No. And
a little girl in the party dress.
And just after that, it started, after she had disappeared, it just started to get warmer in the room again. And
how come did M. Night Shyamalan know about this?
I don't think so. So it was very, very intense. Very intense. So.
It's an interesting story, Joe.
Thank you. And I never went with Margaret up to her summer house. Because she told they had this summer house that had been this convent on this estate. And
this one didn't have the girl in the party.
Well,
had the headless
there
nuns.
Was a nun that had committed suicide.
Stop. The headless nun was floating around?
And every once in a while they would come into the house and the bathtub in the house was kind of messed
filled
up.
With blood?
Well, like
what
dry
do you mean
blood.
Up? There'd be dry blood in the bathtub. In the house.
In the house. And she's like...
And so you stopped going.
Well, no, I never went to the summer house. And then she used to say that,
smart
you know,
man.
And on certain nights, you would see these apparitions of, like, these monks.
Stop. So, monks walking, like a group of monks?
Yeah. Like going to evening prayer or something. Across the moors. But I never saw that. The little girl ghost I saw. So, the other stuff. After seeing the little girl ghost and hear Margaret talk
now,
about it, like...
Was she translucent? Could you see through her? Was
she wasn't solid. She was a full, like you know, like they talk about a full
it
body
vapor. It was like ethereal
kind of thing, right?
And
she glowed.
Was she glowed like white or like ember orange?
No, it was as it wasn't orange, but it was more of, and it wasn't yellow, but towards her center, she was denser, and as it came out, like, to her arms and her fingers spread out, it was looser, kind of thing, and it was almost like there was
like a bride's frown drawing.
It was like
more
a
like
mist
a
around, mist around her kind of thing.
Interesting, Joe.
It was very, very...
Interesting, Joe. Hello, you're on the air.
The way you mangle the English language, you know, translucency is not transparency.
We know that, babe.
No, well, you said translucent. Can you see through it? It's impossible to see through
something that's
translucent.
Something
you can see light.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I know what word I was using, and I know what I meant.
What
I didn't ask. I didn't ask if it was she
what
was transparent. I said translucent. I did not.
Padme.
Oh my God!
Shut up! I
How
love
cranky
Padme.
Is he?
Oh my
Padme
God! Okay. I love Padme. Padme says she's going to call soon. I spoke to the bodyguard.
Bellevue.
Yeah, I know.
He
he's like,
so
you're
full
language.
Moon. He's like, he's foaming at the mouth.
And ask if you can see through it.
Mad dog, mad dog.
Could you see light through her? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, was that Joe with the story with those ghosts?
Of course.
Who
else is going to have a father?
Did the monks have
members?
A key?
What? The monks
well,
had
the
a key. Yeah, of course they did. They had
well,
a key to the prayer room.
Monkey.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Hello, you're in the air.
Is that a sir?
Hello. Well, X.
That was an aberration, that call.
X-Man. Hello, you're in the air.
Hi, it's DJ.
DJ. Thank you for the Christmas card, DJ.
Oh, okay. You're welcome.
That was very nice of
you. I heard you sampling Jerome.
Yes, we were sampling Jerome. You know who Jerome is. That is...
I remember.
Most excellent. Now, let me ask you, DJ, do you have any paranormal experiences that you've
I have one that kind of fits.
Okay.
Love you.
Back in the 60s, I was living with my parents in Queens. One night I was asleep, and this scream sounded in my head. It was so real. Woke me right up. Okay?
Sorry.
And I noted the time. And I couldn't figure out what the heck was happening, so I went back to sleep. The next day, I spoke to a friend of mine. That night, she had been in a local church cemetery hanging out with some friends, and the cops were
Why
chasing
do people
them.
People hang out in the cemetery? What's the point? Did you hear this?
that's what you
I
did.
No, wait.
I'm with you. Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, so there was this steep driveway leading up from the street to the church, and across the bottom of it, there was a chain. And when the cops were chasing her, she slammed into the chain and screamed. It was the exact same time as the scream in my head the night before.
Synchronized screaming.
Yep.
I understand. Well, that's a disturbing story, DJ. And anything since? Do you still hear screaming?
Well, not recently.
Do you still hear screaming? Do you hear screaming anymore?
So that's it.
I understand. Well, that's an interesting story, DJ. DJ, how long have you been listening to the show?
Many years.
Hello, you're on the air.
Happy New Year, people.
Uh-oh, is this Jeffrey?
It is.
Jeffrey, you know, I'm afraid to ask you if you've ever had any supernatural experiences.
That didn't involve medications.
Exactly. I'm very afraid, Jeffrey.
Yo. It's not a very... No, I haven't had many.
Jeffrey, try
what?
To speak clearly.
Haven't had many. It's not a great story, but it real fast. First of all, Happy New Year, Chris, Mike, Joe, Elena.
Hello.
Yeah.
By the way, Anodized Clay is still performing, Joe. Can you believe that?
Yes, we can.
And you're still calling, so there you go.
On YouTube. I was surprised to see my YouTube. There was the Dice Man in 2007 doing the same routine.
And that was your paranormal experience?
No, here it is.
Watching the Dice Man on YouTube?
At the house upstate, my sister lives on the top of a mountain, rural upstate New York, Ithaca area, and it was, we were all taking a walk, and she pointed out to me a house where that, you know, and she pointed to the window, and she said, people have seen and heard a little girl screaming from that window. You know, so it's a secondhand story.
That's not supernatural.
What?
The power of suggestion.
No, a ghost.
Oh, okay.
A ghost.
Why, no one lives in the house?
Right. The house is abandoned. Right.
Okay. You got to throw that part in there. You know what
I'm saying? I missed that part.
I see.
And
the storyteller.
Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Well, Jeffrey, that is...
next thing. I cannot believe...
Keeping in with your...
One more thing, Mike. Oh. I cannot believe that George screamed at you, even if he used the wrong word. How dare George think he can scream at you for using the language...
Jeffrey,
George,
you have... First of all, you have called in and yelled at Joe for using words.
No, I don't. Yes,
you have.
No, that was...
That was his other brother.
That was your other brother. Brother from another mother.
I'm going to smack Joe George someday, I swear to God.
I heard you did a little stumble. You said smack Joe George.
I meant to say I'm going to smack George.
That, you know, that should be a fundraiser for WBAI.
Smack George?
I would pay for it.
Smackdown.
Stop.
A smackdown of Joe.
Jeffrey, George. The WBAI Smackdown 2008.
Jeffrey George. There it is. So, Jeffrey, thank you for your story. Thank you.
Later.
Mike, I can give you a famous example of a supernatural experience.
What was that?
She was just having one just then. Elena, you know, whenever Elena hears people screaming, she's got to join
in. Is that what it is?
She's got to join in.
She's got to join
Boy,
in.
Boy, man, Elena would be incredible in an orgy.
Boy, you wanted to see people screaming.
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm a high-five.
Well, I
got to
say something. I want to say something about Blu-ray and some Blu-ray movies that are coming out. Two things. One, Warner Brothers has now announced that they are abandoning the HD format. Beginning in May 2008. Now, as a proud owner of both formats, because I couldn't wait. I think there are pros and cons to both. You know, in terms of the long range, short range, all of that. But I will say this: that it does not look good for HD because, as it stands now, the only Warner Brothers was releasing both HD and Blu-ray. So for them to abandon HD is significant. Right now, it is only Paramount and Universal that are strictly HD. Disney is Blu-ray, Fox is Blu-ray, and a bunch of the others are Blu-ray.
MGM UA.
MGM UA is Weinstein. Kind of folded. Weinstein, that's all New Line, all Blu-ray. So it does not bode well. But also released today... Samsung has just released a new dual player that... Retail suggested manufacturers retail... shut up, Joe. $5.99.
I got back truck to give you $3.99.
Joe, you should see what he does with his face.
How
dare you, Joe?
Give you a knuckle.
I'm going to have George call up and yell at
you.
You're
going to get a slap down.
Hello, you're on the air.
If that dork smacks me, I'll bite his ear off like Van Gogh.
Hello.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? I just got Mike, and I didn't get the Blu-ray. I just got my Blade Runner in the little suitcase.
Of course, I bought it in HD.
You bought it in HD?
Of course.
I was going to get an HD, and I'm afraid. We'll be the only ones with the HD player.
So what'd you get it in, regular or Blu-ray?
Yeah, I got it in regular.
You got it in regular now. You're going to get it in Blu-ray?
I was going to get it in Blu-ray.
Get it now, because it won't be last. Get it in Blu-ray or something.
What was the number of your suitcase? What was the number?
Oh, like I memorized it.
Come on, I got like 5,000.
But yeah, listen, I had to buy it. They didn't send it to me. I had to buy it. But I will tell you what just came out on Blu-ray. Yeah. I'm holding it in my hand. The Rock and Con Air. Just come out.
On air. That's awful.
Michael Bay extravaganza.
Two Michael Bay.
I really love
The Rock. The Rock is a great movie. It's a lot of fun.
I love the
Con Air is fun, but The Rock is really good. Because The Rock,
very shamey.
It's got Sean Connery, it's got Ed Harris, it's got Nicolas Cage. It's not a girl.
Tony Todd.
And what's great about it is that Connery plays this character who's sort of like... It's sort of like, what if they caught James Bond and he's been in jail for 20 years? And then they let him out. And that's the character he plays in The Rock.
Well, listen, I love The Rock, too.
Anyway, so but what I will say, though, it is amazing. To watch these movies, I have a 61-inch screen. And to watch these movies in Blu-ray and HD, it's just amazing. It's like why do I have to go to the movies now? You know, it's great.
Mike has no more room for his furniture, but
that is true.
I didn't know he had any furniture.
But I have to say, Rock's classic
action movie to get. It's on Blu-ray now. It's got a lot of bonus features. It's got Jerry Bruckheimer
interview. There's a triple. There's a triple for you.
All that stuff.
The Rock, Armageddon, and Con Air.
Also, I have to mention another great thing. MGM UA, or it's just MGM now, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, has just released two things on DVD that are of note. If you can believe it, it's been 20 years since She's Gotta Have It came out. And they're releasing She's Gotta Have It. It's the 20th anniversary. Isn't that amazing? That's been 20 years? It's amazing. And Spike's really literally made at least one film every year. So he's got a huge catalog now to look back on. And they've also released a John Frankenheimer collection, which includes one of his last films, Ronin, classic The Manchurian Candidate, The Train, and The Young Savages, both with Burt Lancaster. It's funny, you look at these and you remember what a huge star Burt Lancaster was back in the day.
Oh, man.
Won Oscars and all kinds of stuff. You know, amazing actor. Did a whole lot of things. He and Kirk Douglas were kind of going one to one. Like each one could try and outdo the others.
Birdman of Alcatraz.
What is wrong with Elena?
Look, I made
a... You've got to make up for lost time.
Do you have that gun?
let's see if we can raise her. Gun.
Chris, I made up a potato chip puppet.
I have a puppet, too. You can play.
What's your puppet's name? All right, so just want to say that both those are in regular DVD, but I have to say this. This is what I will say about the Samsung. And I was talking to Joe about this earlier. One of the big advantages I have seen about HD and your basic HD player is the upconverting. I didn't know it until I got an HD player just how good upconverting from regular DVD could be. I will tell you, I've been watching stuff upconverted, and I sit there, and I'm like, you know, if I didn't have HD, I wouldn't even know I was missing anything. And that's how sharp and clear it is. I've totally gotten into Prison Break. Have you watched the show, Prison Break?
I watched the first season.
Oh, great.
So when I came back to the second season and was like, let's do it all over again, I was like... Eh,
well, no, the second season's completely different because they're on the run.
I know.
Throughout the second season. I'll loan it to you if you want to see it. I went out and bought it.
Look at that. Mike's spending more money.
Yeah, I know. I spent money. Well, it was Christmas. Yeah.
Daddy, why are we eating Prison Break and cheese again?
Exactly. I bought Prison Break and I brought the Blade Runner briefcase. There Blade Runner briefcase is pretty great. Do you have one, Joe?
How much did you pay for the briefcase?
Oh, I didn't wait. I you know, I could have ordered on Amazon and saved 30%, but I just...
When are we going to have meat again, Daddy?
You paid like...
No, I paid like $80 or something. I went down like wherever it is.
Yeah. Tired of eating cheese.
You know, I could have paid $69, but I didn't.
It's cool, man. I have the suitcase too. Joe, you gonna get the suitcase?
Joe, you didn't get the suitcase?
No.
And you know what? I was gonna wait. I was like, yeah, let me see. Blah blah blah. I was gonna wait, and then like I had some people over, and it's like Chris Griffin's like, oh, did you get yours? I already pre-ordered mine. Then somebody else I'm talking to, yeah, I pre-ordered mine. It's like three of my friends already had it.
Yeah.
I said, oh man.
And I have it.
Yeah, and you had it too. I said,
well, that's a Supernatural. I had to get it.
I had to get it. All right. Hello, you're on the air.
You gonna play the rest of this interview?
Yes.
Yeah,
should we play the interview?
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? Hello.
Yeah. Listen, I just want you to know that the first version of Rollerball, Paul Wonder, who was once alive and well on WBAI.
Paul Wonder, who was once alive.
We should have tried channeling him.
And he used Rollerball with James Caan as a premium show thing at the old MGM building auditorium. And the reason I know all about it is that I
premium show thing. Do you mean the Paul Wonder Cinema Club, BAI Cinema Club?
Yeah. That was in the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might
before
have been
the dark times.
Bernard White, yeah, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the point of the story is that I produced the program notes and everything for everybody who came, and there must have been.
Well, send us a copy. Still have some? Send me one.
No, but 250 or so. But the point is that it was a great story about a guy who was a roller derby. A champion, and he represents like the United States team, you know, with his buddies.
All right, Monroe's going to tell us the entire plot to Rollerball. Well, we're going to play the rest of our interview with the lead investigators from Ghost Hunters International, which premieres actually this Wednesday, doesn't it?
January 9th.
Elena, have you ever seen Ghost Hunters?
No.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Have you ever had anything supernatural happen to you?
As I told you, I thought I saw a ghost presence in my friend's home.
Tell us, what happened?
Well, I was walking to the bathroom. That other people have seen this ghost. It was this one woman that had died, and my friend back home, she used to live downtown, and this woman was a known presence in this house. And I thought I actually saw it. In the one bedroom where they abandoned.
Were you awake? Were you sleeping? Were you
eating? I was awake.
What were you doing? Were you reading?
Me reading? No.
What were you doing? Like, when
that'd be more supernatural.
She had her head over the porcelain bowl and she was checking in.
No. I was walking towards the bathroom.
And what did you see her do? What was the description? What happened?
She just kind of braced this bedroom that, again, was closed. And I never wanted
She went through a closed door?
No, she was just walking through the room. And I saw her through the doorway.
You saw her in the room, walking around in the room. As you walk past, did you keep walking past? Did you, like,
yeah,
the
I
side
kept walking
her?
Past.
You kept walking, like, did you speed up your pace? You're like,
a little bit, yeah.
Okay,
I didn't engage into the room.
You didn't go in and go, hey, hello?
No.
I'm not
that brave.
What would you do, Joe?
Hey, you spook, get out of there.
Did you say, shut up, did you?
But I could have been totally wrong.
Did you say anything to the little girl? Did you go, nice dress, little girl?
No, come here. I was just so I mean, taken captivated aback by the whole experience, you know?
I'd be pretty captivated. It'd be life-changing.
I was like, did you see that? It's like, yeah, I saw that. Did you see that?
And I could have been totally wrong, because Joe's story is much more elaborate. I could have just been envisioning? Imagining, because I thought that may be what's going on. But So maybe I was wrong.
Well, once again, Joe, Cloverleaf, next Monday.
Yes.
We have a list.
Yes.
If you want to get on the list, you can email us.
NITESHIFTZ
at AOL.com. That's NITESHIFTZ at AOL.com. Cloverfield is the new huge budget science fiction / horror / end of the world movie from J.J. Abrams. You may have seen the trailers. What the hell's going on? We don't know, but you can be the first to find out. Special free screening.
What the deal?
WBAI and Night Shift listeners. You can email us at the NITESHIFTZ@AOL.com.
Afternoon tomorrow.
By Sunday night, we will notify you. Or you can call
after
we clear the machine at 212-209-2925. Call anytime between now and Saturday.
I heard it's Tom Cruise that's invading.
You understand. I understand. Not only that, I do have passes for P.S. I Love You, which someone said they saw my quote on there and they went and enjoyed it. Do you want to see a P.S. I Love You, Elena?
That's
shocking.
Oh, I don't know. Warm, funny, something like that.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. So I have free passes if you want to come down to the station. Free passes to go see P.S. I Love You. Free passes, you can go any Monday through Thursday.
Who directed that?
This was directed by Richard LeGravenese, who has written a lot of great scripts. Fisher King, and this is his first directorial debut.
It's an
interesting film, and yes, it is.
He did a film before that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right, and this is
He did that film with Queen Latifah and...
You're right. He did
Living Out Loud.
Right, Living Out Loud. Was that what it was called, Living Out Loud?
Yeah, I think it is.
All right, well, yes. Richard LeGravenese is formerly the writer. He wrote this with Steve Rogers, and he directed this. And it's interesting. It's got Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler from The 300 starring in it. And here's what's important to know. It is not a romantic comedy. It is really a drama that has some comedy in it. Go in knowing that, because if you go in expecting to have a laugh riot, you'll be disappointed. But if you go in expecting a drama and you find there's so much humor to a potentially dark subject, you'll enjoy it. So, come down 120 Wall Street, anywhere between 9 and 6, and you can get your free passes to P.S. I Love You. Joe, anything you want to say before we go to tape?
Nope.
Nothing.
Let's go to the video, to the...
Has there ever come a point for you, or are you just way past it, where there is a conflict with some of how you may have been raised, quote-unquote, spiritually or religiously, versus what you've learned in your own life experience, having worked on this type of show and exploring the paranormal?
There has been for me. I was raised Catholic, and I recently was asked to be a godmother. And I hadn't been to church in a while, so I had to go through the exercise of going to the priest and doing the confessional and all this stuff. But anyway, that took a few minutes of his time, and I asked him what he thought about the afterlife and ghosts, and he was very, very resistant to talk about it. Acknowledged that it did exist, but he wouldn't talk about it. And I found that throughout a lot of, you know, Catholic people who are of Catholic background, it's uncomfortable for them to talk about it. And in my own family, for a while, it was very uncomfortable, and my family just thought I was, you know, off on the deep end. Just, why are you, you know, exploring this other world? You know, just accept this reality and don't look beyond. And you can't, when it becomes part of who you are, when it becomes part of your hardwiring, you can't ignore it. So, you know, now that ghost hunters kind of put the subject on the map, people are more open to talk about the subject. It's not so taboo. And I think that's a great thing because it gets everybody talking, kind of coming forth with their own stories.
And Rob, you? Conflicts?
Yeah, no conflicts. Life's pretty easy in that way. You know, my mom was reading New Age books when I was probably still in the crib, so it didn't have a problem in my family or the world around me.
You know, I have to say, you guys are you're heading out and you've spent time with Jason and Grant, and I think one of the things that I found very refreshing about their whole approach was having seen a lot of the other shows that you see on the Travel Channel or Discovery Channel where you have these mediums that go into these places without any, you know, technology, real hardcore technology with them. And even with that, here are two guys who are willing to go back in and try to recreate what they've experienced to try to debunk it and everything. You guys are heading out into Europe where it's a little bit more acceptable. Do you find that sometimes you need to take a moment to center yourself and say, no, we've got to stay focused because we're in, you know, a part of the world that's very open to this kind of spirituality and belief, and that sometimes you might find yourself being a little bit more accepting of the data when you need to be a little bit more analytical?
You know, to be honest, I don't think I've really, or the team has had much of a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not to say that you know, mediums and sensitives and psychics don't have a role within this field, because I think they certainly do. They just don't specifically have a role within our show.
Okay.
You know, we're coming at it as a different approach. You know, as you mentioned, we're coming at it and saying, look, you know, we're going to come in here, we're going to use our equipment. If our equipment doesn't capture it, what can we do? We can't say, you know, we felt something, we saw something, but it happened off camera. If we don't capture the evidence, can't move forward and say, wow, this is the most haunted place we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the respect out in the world to the shows that are, you know, doing, you know, using their mediums and using their psychics and using their sensitives, but that's just not us.
Well, you know, and you bring up, you make me think of something else here, Rob. And again, this is directed towards both of you. As a result of, you know, and maybe in your case, your martial arts training, and in your case, Donna, you know, you said you do something similar, you clear your mind. Have you found that you yourselves, not that you've become psychics or mediums, but you're more receptive now to energies and just aspects that are beyond the normal five senses, or did you pay attention maybe differently than you would have if you weren't doing this kind of work?
I think definitely being in the field, at least from my personal experience, it's twofold. When I first got into the field, I was way too open to believing everything was paranormal and everything was haunted. And then as I grew to learn that certain things cause this, causes and effects, I became way, way more skeptical. But at the same time, I also, and this is kind of hard to understand, but I also became more aware of the energies around me.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. This has been Night Shift. Next up, Tony Short. Joe Missouri.
Bye, Mike.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.